Most of us have been stunned to see reports of the unprovoked aggression in Eastern Europe. Innocent families have suffered needlessly, and many have lost their lives. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his study in Joshua chapter 20. In this passage, the writer describes designated cities that were set aside as sanctuaries or cities of refuge. In this message, Chuck draws a parallel that resonates with people of compassion, and he brings application to anyone who's under attack. Let's pick up the study that Chuck titled, Needed, A Safe Place to Heal.
I stumbled upon Psalm 31. Notice that it's a psalm, it's a song, the word means song, that's dedicated to the choir director, and is composed by David. We're not even told why he wrote it until we get into the song. Lord, I've come to you for refuge. He goes on to say, don't let me be disgraced. There's shame in that word. When we feel ashamed, we are especially vulnerable and secretive. There aren't too many people we feel safe to share shameful news with. You're always safe with the Lord. David felt safety, and he said, don't let me feel this so deeply. Save me for you. You do what is right. Turn your ear, look at this, to listen to me. He just needed to talk. Sometimes that's the most helpful way to get the stuff out that's plaguing us, that's haunting us. And look at what he says, verse 9, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in distress. Tears blur my eyes, my body, and my soul are withering away. First, he needs a refuge because he's in distress and sorrow surrounds him. He even admits that he's crying. David says, my eyes are blurred from tears. So because of sorrow, he's surrounded by all of this inner pain. Look at the next verse. I'm dying from grief. It might be rendered guilt. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I'm wasting away from within. Ah, there's the next reason. He's done something sinful. Doesn't tell us which one, doesn't tell us what it is. The Lord knew, and he said, because of sin, guilt is accusing me. That's tough stuff. I mean, he's in deep, deep trouble. He needs a refuge. That's why we need a safe place. Now, for a moment, if you will, shift gears, go back to Joshua 20, and try to imagine being an individual out in the open where they lived who accidentally killed another person. Unintentional, unpremeditated, but as a result of this accident, he died. The family of the deceased find out you're the one who took his life. You didn't mean to, but they're out to get you. And when they find you, they're going to finish you off in this world of a life for a life, a tooth for a tooth. Except God in grace provided places where people could escape to and be safe. Now stay with me. There's more here than Hebrew history. There were actual cities as Joshua and his troops settled in the land of Canaan, and he dispersed, he divided the land among the tribes. The Lord reminded him, don't forget what was set up. Even in the days of Moses, there are to be actual cities, six of them. There are to be cities of Qasa, cities of refuge. They're to give a person who is a fugitive running for his life a hop ahead of the hounds, hoping to get there before the relatives find him, that he might be safe. They're even named for us. They're unusual names, aren't they? Kadesh, Shechem, Kiriath Arba, Bezer, Ramoth, Golan. Can you imagine how distraught you would be emotionally having had this happen and having no protection apart from a place like this? Can you imagine how rapidly you'd want to get there? And once he would come inside the gate, he would be met by the Levites, whose council would meet, would hear his case, listen to his story, and they would judge the merits of his story and provide for him a place where he could live. As long as the high priest lives, he could live there. And when the high priest died, he could leave and go back to his hometown, safe, having been given this place of refuge. Those within the city, get this, I've made note, had a willingness to go the distance with the person. They had an attitude of loving compassion rather than judgment. They were available to help in practical and tangible ways, and they were committed to the restoration of the person on the run. I've said all along that when I'm teaching Joshua, I'm not interested that you're able to repeat back by memory things like the cities of refuge. I don't care if you ever memorize those places. I don't really mind if you couldn't turn to this chapter and explain it to someone else in great detail. Hopefully you could give the overview of it. But I do care very much that you would understand its application. We have hearts of refuge. It starts there. You know what we really have? Churches. I will tell you, when the Lord led us to found Stonebriar Community Church, one of our goals was that we would become people of compassion and comfort. Stonebriar Compassion Church, Stonebriar Caring Church, Stonebriar Non-Judgmental Church, Stonebriar We Have Room For You Church. How valuable that is. Years ago, I had a little time available to me. I'd spoken and there was another speaking engagement that night, but I had the afternoon free, so I was a part of a group that went out into the New York Harbor, and we had a chance to pull up close and view our most famous statue. Do that if you ever have an opportunity. Do that. there stood 100 tons of compassion. This stately woman, with her robe flowing down to the pedestal, the shackle broken at her ankle, representing the break with tyranny, the torch held high. That's a moving thing. I cried. I was moved to tears. I thought of the many who have come, my family included, years ago from Scandinavia, Svendal, S-V-E-N-D-A-H-L. They spelled it till they changed it at Ellis Island. And your family, and yours, and yours, and yours, and yours, and yours, and yours, all of us. So I decided I would look closely and make notes. And I found that the bronze plaque that's fixed to the pedestal. Oh, by the way, she's holding with her left arm the date of the independence, Declaration of Independence. And with her right arm, she's holding high the torch. And I found that the bronze tablet, the base, was titled The New Colossus. Listen to it. Emma Lazarus wrote these immortal words. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame with conquering limbs, astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gate shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. I love that. Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me, you tired, you poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, the tempest-tossed, to me. I'll lift my lamp beside the golden door. How long she has stood there. How magnificent it must be to view that, to have viewed that coming over on a boat. Third class in the hold of a ship. To come here not knowing the language, not having friends, maybe a relative here or there, no job, no money. Welcome. Come. Does that sign fit our church? More personally, does it fit your heart? Have you allowed the culture to make you jaded, distant, suspicious, angry, brittle? Or do you still have room for the poor and the broken and the hungry, the abused, with no place to turn, a place to find healing and recovery? A place of refuge. There's a simple line in Jeremiah's prophecy that refers to there being no balm in Gilead. From that, the slaves of yesteryear came up with their their song in the field. There's a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Be that balm. As you grow older in the Lord, open your arms wider. Listen better. Forgive quicker. Judge less. Make room. If new neighbors move in, meet them. Reach out. Save the preaching. Leave it to me. I'll take care of the preaching. You don't need to preach. They don't need a sermon. They need their own neighborhood Statue of Liberty that says, come. We're so pleased to welcome you. When Cynthia and I moved back to Dallas, it was 1994. I'd been invited back to my alma mater. And of all things, they wanted me to help lead the school. So we came. By then, we had been gone long enough, really decades. So we knew virtually no one. So we drove into the city, and I knew the school was there, and I could have gone right to the campus. We didn't. We were together. We had left a city where we had lived for 23 years, and Cynthia still was there keeping Insight for Living going. She commuted for 7 years after we moved back and forth from LA to here, back and forth. But back to our story, we drove in, and of all things, my cell phone rang. I hadn't thought about that till recently when he called me again to said some nice things, and we conversed. On the other end of the line was Gene Getz. Know Gene Getz? If you don't, I'm sorry, because you need to know Gene Getz. He's 90 years old now. Back then, you do the math, that was 94 back then. The warmest voice, Chuck. First question, Cynthia with you? Yeah, hey, that's great. Heard you were coming back. We're so thrilled to have you here in Dallas. Hey, I'll meet you for lunch. I got a good place lined up. First voice of welcome. It wasn't from Dallas Seminary, and though they welcomed us, don't misunderstand. But this came on a phone call. So we met Gene, sat down for lunch, and he put his hand in mine, and he said, we're honored to have you here. I've never forgotten that. When we first moved our church to this piece of property, we had one church respond so warmly. I never publicized it, but Jack Graham, the pastor of I call it Preston World. It's Preston Wood. I know, but I tease with it. And Jack was the warmest pastor you could ever imagine. People wouldn't know that. He didn't do it to be known. He sent us a huge bouquet of flowers welcoming us as a church to the community. You didn't know that. I've never announced that. He didn't do it to be known. He did it because, like Gene, he had a heart of compassion. Now you might think we didn't need that. We knew hundreds of people by then, but we did need it. I'd never started a church before, and I will never start one again. But we got her going, thanks to so many of you, and thanks to Jack Graham's prayers and his people and his love and compassion. So, you're rearing children. Help them understand compassion. Help them to realize that when the bully picks on the kid at school, that kid that's being picked on feels like the last guy on earth that wants to be alive. Many of them take their lives. Help your child know that the greatest thing he or she can do is tell them how much they care about them and become their friend. That's simple. When you see a new face, welcome them. When someone sits near you, welcome them. Now, they'll come early and get your seat. It's okay. Now, your first line to them is not, "You've got my seat." Your first line to them is, "Welcome. May I sit near you? I'd love to get to know you." See, if they knew the code, they'd know not to sit there, because that's your seat. Since when? We don't have seats. We have the Savior. A Savior to all of us who accepts us just like we are, sin and all. He's a master at forgiving us. Let's follow suit. Let's become for them, those who need us, their city of refuge, their place of safety. If you're here without Christ, you've come to the right place. We care about you, not just your soul. We care about you. We care about your welfare. We care about your home. We care about what you've been dealing with. We care about your brokenness. We care that you feel uneasy, and we want you to feel comfortable. Sometimes we won't say the right thing, so have a little mercy with us. But we'd love for you to get to know our Savior. You don't have to agree with everything I preach, but you do need to agree that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and without him, you can't know eternity in heaven. You got to know Christ. Come there, and we've got a world of things in common with each other, and we'd love to get to know you better. Now let's pray. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for giving us a place, for making room in your life for us, showing us what it is to be balm in Gilead. Enable us, our Father, to look past the color of someone's skin, the tattoos all over their arms, the accent with which they speak, the strange things they do and say, unusual clothes they wear, the way they smell, all the stuff that's so different from so many of us. May we look past it all and have room for each one. Start that work in all our lives, Father, and build us in this community into the local city of refuge for those who've lost their way and feel like they've lost their life. Thank you for accepting us. Enable us to learn compassion from you and your Son, and to do so 7 days a week, regularly, reaching out, caring, speaking kindly, doing random acts of kindness, showing mercy, great grace. I pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Everybody said, amen.
Our prayer is that today's message from Chuck Swindoll will cultivate greater compassion in all of us. Our world, our country, our community all need safe places to heal. The message you heard Chuck deliver today is just one of nine in a brand new series, never aired on Insight for Living until now. The study is called Moving Ahead Together with a Winning Mindset. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insideworld.org. Maybe you can identify with Chuck's message today because you've been on the receiving end of someone's unfair aggression. Perhaps you're reeling from an unwanted circumstance. Whatever the case, Chuck wrote a book that's been helpful to countless readers around the world. It's called What If God Has Other Plans? In his book, Chuck addresses a wide variety of unwelcome events, and he explains how God might want us to cope with them. We highly recommend this book to you. Again, it's called What If God Has Other Plans? You can purchase a copy right now by going to insight.org/store or call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Finally, I want to say thanks to all those who've given generously in recent days. Your contributions are truly making a difference. In fact, we've received hundreds of comments from all around the world. Every single day, Insight for Living reaches all around the globe through the radio, the internet, and even faraway places like Eastern Europe. This is all made possible through the voluntary support of friends like you. In fact, we couldn't do it without you. So as God prompts you to join the team and financially give to this nonprofit ministry, we invite you to do that online. Just go to insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us next time when Chuck Swindoll describes what he calls a choice you'll never regret on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Needed, A Safe Place to Heal, was copyrighted in 2022 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.